Welcome to lesson 23, IPA. No, we're not talking about beer here, though you may want to grab your beverage of choice and nestle in as we talk about the two types of IPA that apply to your business and how to begin the process of hiring the help that you need. IPA has two meanings: income-producing activities and important personal activities. There are things that generate income for the business and things that are important for you to do in your personal life. Those definitions, however, are a bit vague. So let me clarify things a bit further. IPA are things that must be done and can only be done by you in order to derive the benefit. For example, sleep is IPA. It's an important personal activity that must be done and must be done by you in order to derive the benefit. No one else can sleep for you. That's not something you can delegate, at least not until science finds a way to make that happen. Brushing your teeth, eating healthy food. No one can brush their teeth in order for you to have a healthy mouth. No one can eat your healthy food in order to improve your health. Now, it's true in some cases that someone else could do those things, like feed you or brush your teeth, but you still need to be involved in order to derive the benefit. Okay, so I know that those examples seem pretty obvious. Well, of course you need to eat and sleep, Lisa, but I can't count the number of times I've seen creative entrepreneurs sacrifice their own personal care and their health care for the sake of their business or for the sake of someone else. Personal care and health care are not self-care. They're not luxurious indulgences to pamper or treat yourself. They are absolutely necessary for your well-being. They are IPA. Now, what else could be IPA? Well, that depends on your priorities. Maybe specific activities with your family or loved ones is IPA for you, but be clear on what they are, though, because family time, quote unquote, is not IPA. Driving your child to soccer practice might be IPA if it can only be done by you in order to derive the benefit. So let's explore this a little more closely. If family time is important to you, then driving your kid to soccer might be IPA if it means getting to spend some quality time with your child and connecting with them in a way that's meaningful and builds the relationship. Because nobody can build your relationship with your kid but you. Nobody else can do that. So if that's important to you, then maybe you driving your kid to soccer is IPA. But if driving your kid to soccer is a hassle that creates more stress and your kid doesn't even give you the time of day on the drive and it stresses you out every time you get in the car with them, then it's pretty clear that's not IPA. Find somebody else to drive them to soccer practice to give you both some peace of mind. As a business owner and as a human being with a limited capacity, you need to get ruthlessly honest about where you're investing your resources, your time, your energy, your money, your effort, your attention. Are you investing your resources or spending them? As you look at the task list you made in our last lesson, what absolutely must be done? Probably half the things on your list could either be deleted or delayed. There are probably more than a few shoulds on that list that need to be dealt with too. If they aren't important right now, delete them. If they are important, then decide what to do about them. Eliminate the shoulds, or as I often say, stop shoulding on yourself. Now, of the things left on that list, what absolutely must be done by you in order for you or your company to derive the benefits from it? And be very careful here, because at first glance, there are probably a lot of things that you think have to be done by you. And they may have to be done by you right now because you haven't set everything up to make it otherwise. But if you had the resources, could someone else be hired to do it and still get a great result for you or your company? For just about everything on your list, you could probably hire somebody else to do it in the future. If your goal is to build a hands-off enterprise, then everything needs to be delegated or outsourced at some point. Otherwise, the company can't continue without you. Between delegate it all and do all the things, there's usually a comfortable middle ground where you're focused on doing only the things that you can do that you actually enjoy doing. That's the sweet spot, the zone of genius that you may hear people talk about. Now, most solopreneurs spend way too much time outside their zone of genius because they're doing all the things. Plus, it's not as easy as it sounds to just stop doing all the things and stay in your zone of genius when you're still ramping up your business. I totally get that. Even after you hit some stability, the hiring process can still have ups and downs that make staying in your zone of genius a challenge. So why bother? Well, because most creatives I know got in business to find a sense of freedom through serving their audience. Freedom is hard to come by when you're chained to your business all the time. Taking the steps to see what you can let go of early in your business helps you build a plan to delegate those things when you're finally ready. Plus, if you do it a little at a time, it isn't so overwhelming. So, where do you start? Start by looking at these three areas first. The greatest need of the business, your greatest need, and the things that you're really good at but aren't in your zone of genius. Now, it might be hard to see the greatest need of your business. Sometimes you think the problem is in one place, like needing more sales, but the real problem is that you don't have a large enough audience to support the kind of sales growth you're trying to achieve. In that case, a Fix This Next assessment can help you pinpoint the greatest need of your business. Now, the assessment's free, so there's no excuse for not knowing your company's greatest need. Then you can look at that need and determine if it's something that you can handle on your own or if you need to hire help to fix it. You can also look at what your greatest need is. As I mentioned in the last lesson, maybe you need to hire childcare or a housekeeper or a bookkeeper to take that load off your plate. Or maybe you've got a clear next step on your list of tasks and all you have to do is find the right person to ask for help. One of my clients asked her husband to take over the financial management of her company so that she didn't have to worry about it anymore. He agreed, and now she knows her bookkeeping is in the hands of someone she trusts. That lightened her emotional load and freed up several hours every month that she was spending trying to figure out the money stuff. And because he had a background in bookkeeping, he was in his element. He was happy to put his skills to work in her business that way because it benefited them both. It made her happy, he was happy, and they both knew what was going on with the money. So much easier. Now, lastly, a hidden area you might not consider is letting go of something you're really good at, but that isn't in your zone of genius. Why? Because it's easy to create a process document and train somebody on something you're already very good at or know very well. Plus, if something happens and they're not able to do the work anymore for whatever reason, it's something that you can pick back up and not have a learning curve to try and figure out. There are plenty of resources online that recommend different things that you can delegate. But before that, you need to know that there are different ways to hire help, and delegating is just one way. And I kind of touched on this a little bit in our last lesson. The good news is that you're probably already outsourcing and delegating without even realizing it. One of the first places most business owners begin to delegate is through automation. And this is also one of my favorites because it's usually cost effective and it helps streamline the business. I was talking about Facebook and scheduling social posts in our last lesson. Well, let's go a little deeper here. Using a subscription-based tool like an email service provider is a great way to delegate sending emails to your list or to specific client groups. An online scheduler allows people to click a link and book an appointment in any open slot in my Google Calendar. Payments are processed through our merchant account and PayPal. It's all automatic. It's all connected. And the only thing I have to do is write the email and send the link. And most of the time, my VA does that for me as well, although I used to do it. There are lots of things that you can automate. Your bookkeeping, your email, your scheduling, those are just a few things. I've automated the contract process for the Creative Freedom Incubator Pay for Results program. People request and complete an application, set up an appointment long before I'm involved in the process. Okay, much of my marketing is automated as well. We have scheduled social media posts, all my videos and podcasts are scheduled to go out at a specific time, and the emails are all timed so that they all go out together. Now, I still have to create the content, or at least some of it, but even there, I've got help for a lot of things. My designer created social media templates that I can use over and over again so that everything in my social media feed looks and feels consistent and on brand, and I don't have to create it all from scratch all the time. If you've got repetitive tasks, especially digital ones, chances are good you can automate them to some degree. Now, aside from automation, there's also deletion. Maybe you're doing things that don't need to be done. If you're on 70 jillion social media platforms and you're not consistently effective on any of them, you can probably cut most of them out, at least for now, okay? Pick one platform and then get consistent there. Track your results and make decisions based on those results. Then, if you've got a handle on that platform, you can delegate the management of it to an assistant while you get the next one up and running. Plan, do, evaluate. Then, if it's repeatable, systematize what works so that somebody else can run that system. All right, so you've got a handle on automation and deletion, but what about when it's actually time to hire a person to do something? Then what? When you start to delegate, begin with low-risk tasks. Things that, if they fell through the cracks or weren't done quite right, wouldn't end the world and would be easy to catch. That's one of the reasons why I say start with something that you know really well, because then if you need to go in and fix something while they're still in training, you can handle that, okay? Remember the 4D matrix from an earlier lesson, okay? Doing tasks is often low value, even if it's necessary. Select tasks that free you up to do other things that are of a higher value than whatever it is you're delegating. Deciding and delegating are slightly higher value than doing tasks. And designing the future of your business, that fourth D, is the highest value work in your company. It's the work that only you can do. It's IPA of the highest order. Most of the time, you can find somebody who will work on a per project basis or for a few hours at a time. That's a great way to start. You don't need to hire a full-time executive assistant as your first step. Start with a few hours on a single project. Hire virtual assistants or the neighbor kid or a friend you can trust to start working on these low-risk tasks. Once they've got a groove going, you can start adding more to their plate. When I onboard a new VA, I always start with a single task, one thing, and then I add new things once I know they've got the hang of it. There's no sense in giving them five things to do when they can't handle even one of them well. It sets them up, and you, for failure. Virtual assistants are great for single tasks like research or drafting content. They're also helpful for ongoing, repetitive, and systematized tasks like social media management or email marketing. At some point though, you may need more than one VA, or maybe you've grown to the point where you need help with the strategic parts of business development. That's when you want to consider hiring a project manager, a business manager, or an online business manager for virtual work. These folks don't do the work so much as manage the folks who are doing the work. You turn the management of that part of the business over to them, and they run it. But they aren't a business partner. They still work for you. They don't own your company. They just help you run it. And they're contractors, typically. Sometimes you hire them. But typically they're contractors, which means they're non-employees. So you don't have the paperwork hassles of having a full or a part-time employee on your payroll. If you choose to hire someone as an employee versus contracting it out, there are some extra steps in terms of paperwork and record keeping. But it's not hard. It just takes patience. You just need to maintain the paper trail and make sure you're paying the appropriate government taxes and fees for maintaining that employee on top of their payroll expense. Yeah, having an employee means additional expenses on top of paying their hourly rate. And that was something that I was not aware of when I hired my first employee. Now, I was an employee and I could see that they were taking stuff out of my check. So I figured that that stuff had to be coming from somewhere. But I never did the math on my own until I was a business owner and I had hired my first employee. And I was like, what are all these extra things that I have to pay for that never came out of my check when I was an employee? Surprise! Make sure you stay abreast of what's going on in your local area. Now, there's a legal way to hire help and an illegal way. Make sure you know the rules for wherever you live. They are not hard to find, because the government wants you to hire employees. They want your business to grow because it means more tax revenue for them. Here in the United States, Most states have online resource centers to help you figure out how to hire an employee if that's what you need. And the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, is your point of contact for determining if that hired help needs to be an employee or can be a contract worker or an intern. Above all, and again, I'm saying it loud for the people in the back, follow the rules in your area. Your assignment is to review your task list and start highlighting the tasks that are truly IPA. Get clear on what only you can do and what could be delegated at some point in the future. Even if you don't want to delegate it or aren't willing to delegate it, give yourself the awareness that it could be if you decided to change things up in your business. In our next lesson, we're going to shift gears a little bit and take a closer look at the what of the Creative Freedom business model. Those are your offers, and I will see you there.